So yesterday,
if you recall, so we started talking about the concept of holchu, about the idea that if you, as a worker, have headed out on your way, you've begun the process, so then, or rather that's called beginning the process, that's called the haschala, and once you have a haschala, so then you have effectively begun the relationship, and it's not so easy to go back. It's not so easy to be chozer. So what we discussed yesterday is how do you understand that? Does that mean that it's a kinyan itself? Maybe it's not a kinyan. We saw a couple of possibilities in terms of that question itself. That Tosfos and perhaps others understood that there's no real significance to holchu or haschalu, ischilu specifically. It just means that any time you've incurred some kind of costs, then the situation has changed. But other Rishonim saw it differently. And other Rishonim assume that when the Gemara talks about holchu, it's doing so because there is significance to halicha. And we discussed the possibility and the likelihood that it's some type of kinyan. And within that possibility, we saw that maybe it's a kinyan derabanan, a takanas chachamim, as the Ritva expresses. Or maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's a kinyan min haTorah. We went through some theories as to what kinyan min haTorah it might be, focusing primarily on three possible theories. Either that it is some type of a chalipin, that the fact that the worker has started and now incurred some type of a obligation of the employer to pay him, so now there's something there. So maybe that represents a form of chalipin. That's one possibility. Another possibility was that it's a kind of chazaka. And we discussed a little bit at some length yesterday what a kinyan chazaka is. And we focused on the theory that a kinyan chazaka essentially is using or relating to the situation as if the kinyan has already taken place. So in terms of acquiring property, it means usage. In terms of marriage, it would mean physically living together. In terms of an employer-employee, it would mean the employee already starting to work. So all of those are one type of category, a kinyan chazaka, that was a possible theory as well. And also the possibility that there's a kinyan kesef involved, that since there is an obligation to pay once there's been some work, so therefore there's some money on the table, so to speak, maybe that creates a kinyan chazaka, a kinyan kesef rather. And then we also said that it's possible that maybe we don't have to look to any of these, but maybe there is a cheftza, so to speak, there is a concept of a poel in the Torah, which means that it's not simply that we have a set of agreements between people, but there is a concept of what it means to be a poel with its own unique halachas. And therefore, maybe it's equally possible to say that we're just looking at when that situation is triggered. When does one enter into that category? And maybe that's our point of focus. So that's a very brief 30-second version of what we discussed yesterday. Everybody's basically up to speed. Everybody's doing all right. So we'd like to focus on today a little bit is if you look at this concept of holchu as being significant, and we established yesterday, you know, yesterday was basically therefore about establishing that beginning the work somehow creates a kinyan, and we took it for granted that holchu is part of beginning the work. That was the language of the Rashba, essentially, right? That haschala is a kinyan and that holchu is haschala. So let's try to deepen that a little bit today. What is, because we have to figure out what's considered to be holchu. Holchu, especially in a modern context, might have all kinds of different nuances to it and all kinds of different gradations. So how do you understand this concept of holchu? What constitutes holchu and why is it that holchu is considered to be a part of the working process that signifies its starting? Before we mention that, I just want to address, Jonathan raised a question yesterday. He asked if you want to say that showing up at work is a haschala. So is that really fair that it's a little bit of a unilateral haschala because the worker could show up at work and maybe the boss doesn't want him to show up at work? How does he decide that what one party does constitutes a kinyan here and the other party isn't necessarily involved? We raised a question like that yesterday, something along those lines. So just wanted to mention that the Maril Diskin happens to address something a little bit similar, not exactly that, but the Maril Diskin in the Psakim in Oschav Beis, in the back of the Tshuvas. Maril Diskin was known as the Brisker Rav before the Brisker Rav. Before the Soloveitchiks had that title, So the late 1800s, Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin was known as the Rav Mibrisk, not any connection to either the Soloveitchik family or the Derech HaLimud that is now associated with that Mahalach. But he writes that, let's say you have a scenario where the worker goes to work and he doesn't realize that the boss sent a message to him. The boss, let's modernize it a little bit, the boss sent an email and went to the spam folder, and the email said, "Don't show up. I don't need you." So the worker didn't get the email, and he shows up. Right? Essentially, it's that that's a unilateral situation that Jonathan was asking about. The worker's here. Okay, so I've triggered this relationship. The boss will say, "I told you not to come," and the worker will say, "I didn't know that. So now I'm here." So who wins in such a scenario? Is the relationship started or not? So he writes to my real disc, and it does start the relationship because the worker is working off this previous agreement to come, and the fact that there was an attempt to send him a message that didn't go through, so he can claim that's not my problem. I did what I was instructed to do under the theory of our previous agreement, and the fact that there was an attempt to tell me otherwise, that was not my fault, it didn't get to me, that's not my problem. So I just wanted to add that in, because it addresses a little bit that question about where we're basically at here, that we're basically putting it in the hands of the worker, even though it's going to have an effect in both directions. So now let's focus again on that question. So why should it be? How are we deciding that holchu is a part of the workday? Why is that the case? Right, if you want to say, fine, that beginning the work is considered to be a kinyan, that was yesterday's topic. But why did we take it for granted yesterday that holchu is considered to be starting the work? Yes, the Gemara says it, but what's the Gemara operating off of? What is it about holchu that makes it a part of the work? So there was an item that I put on the Marmar Komos today, which very possibly didn't get to. So I maybe should highlight that it was especially relevant for today. But there is a Gemara later on in Bava Metzia, which we look at together. It's the beginning of the next parak. So tomorrow, on the top of Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Did anyone see it? Let's assume if not everyone saw it. So the line at the beginning of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Poel b'chnisaso mishalo b'tziaso mishal balabais. What does that mean? It means, what's the difference between knisaso and siaso? Those words sound like they mean opposites, but they really don't mean opposites in this context. Normally, knisa means to go in, and siya means to go out, so it sounds like it's the opposite. But here it means really two stages in the same process. That a poel, he comes to do a job, comes to work, so when he comes to the city itself, that's what knisaso refers to, knisaso le'ir, as Rashi explains. So he has to do that on his own time. That's on his own cheshbon. He's got to figure out how to get to the city himself. But once he gets to the city where he's working and he goes to bed at night, so then the next morning he gets up to go to the actual workplace. So that's what's called yitziyaso here. So as Rashi translates, yitziyaso the malachto baboker. So that is mishal bal habayis. That he can do on the boss's cheshbon. Mm-hmm. So if his workday is 9 to 5, he can leave his house at 9. So the job involves him going to whatever city it is. Job involves him going to Philadelphia to go work for Michael Gabay. So he goes to Philadelphia the night before and sleeps over in Philadelphia. But then in the morning, when he travels from the place where he's staying until where the work site actually is, that he does on the boss's time. So why is that relevant here? This is a point, this is a Gemara that's highlighted by some of the major Achronim, such as the Avnei Nezer, notably in one of his Shuvos and Choshen Mishpat, and the Chikri Lev, and Tzitz Eliezer talks about this. Why is that significant for our situation here? What it seems to highlight is that the traveling to the workplace is a part of what he's being paid for. So therefore, what this Gemara is essentially telling us is that that is included in his labor. That you might think the labor is only when he sits down in his cubicle and starts typing, or his labor is when he swings the hammer, or whatever it is that he's physically doing. But you see here from this Gemara that we start counting it from the moment that he begins his commute to work. So that might be why we have such a concept of halku. That if halku, he's already on the clock, so essentially what the din is that as soon as he starts his first work day, as soon as he begins his being on the clock, so that's what creates this kinyan. That's what creates this relationship. Now there's more to this Gemara, as we'll see. I didn't read the whole thing, but we'll come back to it in a minute. There's other lines of this Gemara that are important, and a very important in a very interesting way. We'll come back to that in a minute, but for now, that line has relevance for this purpose. Jonathan?
You can say that the Gemara implies that it's not just he's walking and we're paying for it, but rather he started the job then. Mm-hmm. So can you say from that that when we talk about Holchu, that would be even before that? I mean, if you say this is actually part of the work, him right. walking from his hotel or his sleep to the job, mm-hmm. so Holchu Lichor would be even before that, because Holchu doesn't imply he started working, he just started Holchu.
Before what?
Before he even left his hotel, meaning like what we said with Pater when the Knisasa year.
So why isn't Knisasa included?
Right, because if you're saying that this Gemara is saying that it's part of the Avodas, then that seems to be a problem. But if you say that it's not part of the Avodas, just that it happens to be that the employer is responsible for it, then it's different.
Well, you're highlighting one of the important questions, which we want to talk about today, is what do we mean by part of it? There's different kinds of part
right,
of it.
Right, is it part of the
right,
actual
if you use
avoda?
A rough mushel, it's like a mitzvah. Right, so we know there's a mitzvah and a hechsher mitzvah. And sometimes the hechsher mitzvah has a status like a mitzvah, and sometimes it doesn't. So where do we draw the line? What's considered to be a preparation that is a part of the act itself? And what's considered to be a preparation that's not a part of the act itself? So somehow, for some reason, this going to work, getting up in the morning and going to the site, that's considered part of the work. And coming to the city in the first place is not. So that's part of what we got to figure out. What does that division tell us? When is something a part of the job and when isn't it? So that's something hopefully we'll get a little bit clearer on in a few minutes. But it does also possibly yield to the suggestion, which the Abinazer alludes to a little bit of a complicated way, that therefore maybe we should distinguish between a poel and a kavlan. That maybe a poel, so he's on the clock per hour, so he includes his traveling as part of the work's day. But the kavlan is just given a task to do. He's not paid per hour. So then maybe this whole svara doesn't apply to him. Right, which we discussed a little bit yesterday, was itself a machlokus. It's machlokus whether or not the whole haschalas hamalacha itself has significance for a kavlan. Right, that itself was a machlokus we mentioned yesterday. But even if you want to say yes, once the kavlan starts his work, then that is a kinyan. We could still ask this question. All right, start of the work, actually, yes. But going to work, does that also count? Maybe not. Maybe it only counts for the poel, who's on the clock per hour, and the Gemara here tells us that going to work, he can do that on the clock. So for him, that's considered starting. But for the kavlan, even if you want to say that starting the job creates a kinyan, which itself was a machlokas, maybe it's not called starting until he literally starts, and going to work isn't part of it. So far, so good? So it's interesting. There is just also interesting to look at the thought process here. So there is a little bit of a dispute in contemporary svarim among living authors about how to assess that point and about how to assess a possible exception to that point. So if you say that a kavlan would be excluded from this idea, that we don't count his traveling time as part of the job. So what would you say if the kavlan is forced by the nature of the job to work in a specific location? Then would you consider that to be the beginning of the job? Jonathan?
You can always argue that he could also, in fact, live there, so he would never have to travel.
Okay. It's possibly relevant. Interesting point. Any other thoughts? So So it's interesting that this is the contemporary Mechaberim differ on this. There's a sefer called Mishpat HaCholim, which we've mentioned in the past by Rosner, who maintains that he thinks it's Pashut, then that would change it. That would essentially make him like a poel for these purposes. Just like we discussed in a previous context, that sometimes these definitions aren't absolute, depends a little bit on the reality of the circumstances. So too, even if he's a Kabbalin, but he has to work in a specific location, so then going to the location itself is part of the job. While the Sefer Mishpatei HaChoshen says he doesn't think that's at all true. Or he doesn't think it's at all true that it's Pashut. Because if it's all based, like the Avnei Nezer says on this Gemara, so then the fact that the Kabbalin is required to do his job in this place doesn't mean that the boss is paying for that. And therefore, yes, he has to go to that place in order to start the job. But if we're going to focus on the fact that the boss is paying as the indication that that's what starts the process, so we don't know that the Kaplan's being paid for that. In fact, presumably he's not being paid for that. He's being paid based on his task. And the task is defined as the task itself, not as the traveling. So we can assume he's not being paid for that. So therefore, if the Avnei Nezer and those who agree with him, if that's the operative issue, that since you're on the clock and you're getting paid, that's why this is a part of the workday, it shouldn't apply to the Kabbalin, even if the Kabbalin has to go to a certain place in order to do the job. However, Mishpatei HaChoshen says, you can imagine an exception to that. Let's say there's a job which involves a far travel, and because it involves a far travel, so you have put that into the salary. Like let's say, for example, you talk about a contractor. Let's say you live in New Jersey, and you hire in Bergen County, and you hire a contractor to work on your house. So you call him up, and you say, I need you to fix up my kitchen. How much does it cost to fix up the kitchen? So he'll tell you how much it costs. And then you say, okay, come to my house in Fairlawn. He's not going to say, oh, you're in Fairlawn instead of Teaneck, or you're in Englewood, or you're in Washington Heights. It's all within his range of operation. It's not going to factor that in at all to how much he charges you. Right, so it takes 10 minutes to drive here, 15 minutes to drive here, 8 minutes to drive there. It's not a part of his calculation, though. It's not a part of his radar screen. He works, this is the job that he does. You're within the zone where he operates, so the job costs the same no matter what. And it's up to him to figure out that it's 10 minutes here and 20 minutes here, and there are tolls here and there aren't tolls there. That's all part of what he takes on to himself. He doesn't charge you for that. But let's say you're going to call the guy and say, listen, you're the best kitchen fixer up right now. And I know you work in Bergen County. But I have my house in Miami that I would love for you to be the guy to work on. So in that case, so then you understand that you're going to be paying for the travel also. That the nature of the job is such where the travel becomes a part of the salary. This contract is not going to say, well, I don't distinguish when I do a job in Teaneck and I do a job in Washington Heights or in Fairlawn. But he is going to distinguish if he has to go to Florida. So if you have a rate that was set for the Kabbalin based on the fact that the job is in a different location, so then maybe that's an exception, and then maybe we should say that even with the Kabbalin, that when he starts off on his plane trip to Miami, that will be the beginning of the process. So if you focus on that being the idea, that Holthus is a haskala because he's on the clock, and he's making money, he's getting paid for that point, so then, that works well if you're working off the kesef or chalipin theories. And if we're saying that we have something on the table, and that creates a kenyan, so then, all right, now that he's racking up wages, he's racking up pay because he's on his way, we can understand a little bit how that operates. Does it work as well for the Chazaka theory? Maybe. If the Chazaka point is that you've started to use the services, so now it counts, so then maybe that still explains Halchut. Or maybe, as Jonathan was saying, maybe it could go back even further. Maybe we could say that whenever he's working on your behalf, that's already initiated the process, even if he's not getting paid for working on your behalf. So that becomes a little bit murky, and we'll come back to that in a minute, to defining what's in that category and what isn't. There's also a very interesting point that's made by the Mishpatei Choshen. I think it helps to illustrate a little bit just the concept of how we understand this whole notion of a poem in our Torah. If you look at the Gemara a little bit further, this Gemara in Pei Gimel and Beis, which we just made reference to about Yitzias and Balabayas, Shal Balabayas, that he can go to work on the boss's cheshbon. So the Gemara goes on to ask that we don't really need this whole din. That this whole idea that we should pay him for this and not pay him for that, that's something that's really subject to various practices. It's subject to local minhag. This is one of the concepts that we should let the local minhag determine and develop. So the Gemara says, why do I need a Gemara telling me about this? Let's see what people do. What is the minhag in this place? Do they pay you for coming to work? Or do they not pay you for coming to work? Right, in America, what's the practice basically? They don't pay you for coming to work for the most part. Right? If your workday starts at 9, they don't say, okay, well, you tell me when you begin your commute, and that's okay. You're expected to be there at 9. So if you have a 10-minute commute, you have to leave at 8:50. If you have a 2-hour commute, you have to leave at 7. And that's all on your judgment. So the minhag in America is that the travel time is on your cheshbon, it's not on the boss's cheshbon. So that's what the Gemara says. Let's just see what the current practice is. So the Gemara says there are a couple of possible reasons why this might be relevant. Let's say you have an area where there is no minhag, you're starting a whole new settlement, no one's decided what the rules are going to be. Or let's say you have an arrangement where you wanted to do things specifically al pi din Torah, and then we have a proof that this is the way conceptually it should be. So says the Mishpatei Choshen, if the Avinezer and his friends are right, that the reason Holchu is significant is because you get paid for Holchu, and that's based on this Gemara. But you see from this Gemara that it's often not true. It's only true in a minority of cases, if you're starting a new city out of nowhere, or if you make a special condition that that's what you want to do. But if you hire a worker in America, and the workday starts when he gets there, so then you say this whole concept falls apart. You hear his point? I should say that it is all premised on this din, and this din is not usually actually put into effect, then maybe we have very much minimized where Halchu applies. So then he goes on to say an interesting point, which is very helpful for us in general in understanding the whole relationship. That you could say no. Still, the Avnei Svar applies everywhere. Because the fact that in America, they're not going to pay you for your commuting time, that doesn't take away from the impact of what this Gemara is telling us. This Gemara is telling us that Al Pi Din Torah, when we look at the relationship of the poel and the balabas, we see the poel as working for the balabas from the time that he starts out to work. So by default, he could do that on the boss's time. He could get paid for it. Now in practice, maybe the minhag is not to pay him for that time. And so that's as if they made a deal between themselves to follow that practice. So fine, that's a personal agreement
that even though the worker could get paid for the commuting time, they've decided between each other he's not going to get paid for the commuting time. But the fact that he's not going to get salary for those moments, that doesn't change the fact that he's still working for the balabas at that moment. But our Gemara teaches us, our Gemara in Pei Gimel on the Beis teaches us that he's working for the balabas from when he starts his commute. If the minig is not to actually give him that money, okay. But it still shows you that he's working, and that could be considered the haschal of the relationship.
Right. In the case of like a contractor whose workers work for the contractor, not for you specifically.
Right. So they are working for him. So all of their negotiations are with him, really. So every issue that they have, if they quit, they put on him.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole any question you'll have regarding them will be between them and the contractor.
So it's not like you just worked it out personally that I just won't get paid for help
because. Yeah, he worked it out with their contractor. Their boss is the contractor. So it's like they worked it out with whoever the relevant issue is. So it's just shifting from one person to the other. That the contractor is a kavlan vis a vis the owner of the house, and the workers are polim vis a vis the contractor. And that's why, especially we talk about a contractor because in modern Hebrew, the kablan is specifically the contractor, so more so the appropriate example. So that's an important point that he's making over there, that even if in practice they're not actually getting paid, but maybe this shows that the relationship essentially has kicked off, so they can't charge for those moments, because that's not their agreement, but they can maintain that we've already started to work for you, and you can't back out on us. Jonathan?
So you're saying, though, that if they're still working, then they're mochel on it? Is that what it is?
Well, that essentially the agreement they worked out between themselves is that even though left alone midin Torah, they deserve to get paid for that time.
Right.
But usually, with some glaring exceptions, kol tnai shebemam kayim, if any two parties decide to negotiate a different deal amongst themselves, so then that deal is binding. Mm-hmm. So basically the Torah is telling us that you and I, if I work for you, so you have to, as a poel, you have to pay for my commuting time. But when we make our initial agreement, you can say, listen, I'm not going to give you a salary for that. Do you agree? And I say, I agree. So if that's the minig, sometimes the minig is as if we made a deal. So if this is what everyone does, we know that in America nobody pays you for your commuting time. A working day that starts at 9 o'clock means you're in the office at 9. So then that itself should have the same effect. Some point out there's an interesting line of the Rush. This was also on the Mar Makomos, if you had a chance to see it. That the Rush in Simon Bays in our parak, in the seventh parak, in the sixth parak, in Asocher, Asomid in the sixth parak, in Simon Bays. So the Rush has an interesting line. And some have thought this was significant. It's about a third of the way into Simon Bays in the Rush. Just look at it now if you want. So the Rush says as follows: "B'med dvar mamurim shlohitzchilu b'malacha," right, commenting on the Gemara that things change once they start the malacha. So says the Rush: "Kolomar b'skire yom shlokiblu aleihem asiyas hamalacha." So people who work by the day, skire yom, who haven't accepted upon themselves the asiyas hamalacha. Oh, kablanim shlo hischilu b'malacha. So first of all, it's noteworthy the Rush seems to include a kablan in this din of haschala. Possibly excludes them from holchu, because he doesn't necessarily connect them to holchu. But in terms of schir yom, how does he refer to what we identify as holchu? Shlo kiblu aleihem asiyas hamalacha. So some of the later Sfarim understand the significance of this Rush to be that any time the worker is ready to work and all the conditions are there for him to work and he is not in any way getting in the way of the work, he's just waiting for the boss to give him something, that constitutes a haschal. It's not necessarily about physically traveling, but if he is ready and nothing in the way, that's enough to allow him to consider the deal started. Now, according to the Ritva, that this whole din is a takanas chachamim, so this also all works out well, because then it makes sense to say that Chazal made their takana based on what the expectation of the workday tends to be. And you still could maintain a distinction between a poel and a koblin, also based on this Gemara over here, on the Gemara about the poel being paid for his commuting. Because, again, it's not necessarily about what's actually happening, it's about the fact that the halacha reflects that distinction. So perhaps the Ritva has that distinction as well. So all of this understanding is important, because if we say that it's based on being paid, so then we should only include anything that starts on the clock. But if we say that it's based on something else, it's not necessarily based on being paid, so then we theoretically could expand it to other hachanas. So we have to discuss that a little bit, but this time went very quickly, so I don't want to keep it from Bible, so we'll have to pick up from that tomorrow, and then we'll have to see how much farther we go. Maybe we'll also do some Pesach stuff tomorrow.